Hello, everyone. We are learning the 37th page, Daf Lamed Zayin, of Likutei Torah, Sefer VaYikra, Parshas Emor, the Mimer, the discourse that speaks about the Karban of Shavuos, the Shtei Lechem, Bikurim. It's brought down in the Gemara that the bread was above the lamb, when it was offered and waved together, had this unity. Now we're going to digress and talk about itzel. Itzel, the whole purpose of our existence is to mavatel our ratzain into Hashem's ratzain. But we know that our human nature is not to do that, to be have our own existence and our own physicality. So to nullify our own ratzain to someone else's ratzain, that is much more difficult. And the whole idea is that with regards to the karbanos, we would bring a behemah on top of the mizbeach, and that would cause the chayas, the energy that's within the behemah, to ascend to its source, which is the idea of bittel, mamish. And specifically, why specifically a behemah? Because behemah represents bittel even more than a chay, even more than an undomesticated animal, because a behemah, a domesticated animal, does what the owner wants it to do. And of all the domesticated animals, the most bittel of all of them would be the lamb, because the lamb has a special sound it makes. That baa sounds comes arouses a certain level of rachmi, mercy and compassion on the owner. That's very unique and special, as opposed to the shore or the ox or the goat, which both come from Gevurah, from the left side. So the sheep, however, comes from Rachmi, which is the idea of Yaakov. Yaakov separating the sheep, when he would separate the sheep to determine which one is speckled, which one is, you know, the different types, et cetera, et cetera. That was the idea of arousing Hashem's deep compassion and drawing down that life force down here and in this world. And the bracket speaks about, very fascinatingly, about wool and the uniqueness of wool that comes the growth from the sheep specifically. And as this chayas comes down here, begashmias, it's called a kvas keves with the vase before the sin. But we see that in other places, it's actually called a kesev. So what's the difference between a keves and a kesev? What keves, the vase before the sin, alludes to a lower level of hamshacha, I guess, of chayas, where vase represents chachma and sin represents the three branches from intellect to go into the midas, chesed, for antiferes, presumably. But when you have kesev with the sin before the vase, it actually represents the idea of the midas being even higher than the moichin, or than the, so it represents a much higher level. And that hamshacha is way higher. And so the idea of Yaakov separating the ksavim is drawing down this high level ksavim into this world of perud, of separate, of divisiveness, alma de pruda, and making sure that chayas is nimshach down here. And we also see by the korban tamid, every day, morning and afternoon, we have also the keves, the lamb, is being offered. Now, the morning korban tamid is the idea of chesed, just like Avraham Avinu, which is the idea of infinite expansiveness of Ein Sof. But the afternoon korban refers to Yitzchak, which is the idea of Gvura, which is the idea of preventing any yinika of the chitzonim, any leaching of negativity from Yishmael, Ahalei Kedar, so that way it can come down in a way that can be free of any unholiness. Now, and the one that actually brings this Hamshacha down is specifically Yaakov Avinu. And that is Yaakov's Avoda, to unite these two opposite ideas and to draw down this level of Ksavim from its source to the level of Kvasim and to Alma de Pruda. And specifically the Anshavuas, so that's during the Korban Tamid of every day, but Anshavuas, they'd wave the Korban together. Anshavuas. And the idea is that it would be completely bottle and united with the Ein Sof Mamish. And specifically with the lechem, with the bread, because these two breads allude to Tarsh B'Chsav and Tarsh B'Alpeh. And we know that these are two very lofty levels. And we see that Tarsh B'Chsav is very unique and important and special, but we need the Tarsh B'Alpeh as well. So in the Tarsh B'Chsav, we have the cantillations, like we have the cantillations of the Torah. That's all part of the written Torah, which is the idea of having a nigun and a geshmak in Torah and the singing of the tune. Just like singing is connected to the idea of Torah learning specifically, and simcha and tainug, right? But Tarsh B'Alpeh is the idea of explaining the reasons, explaining the cantillations, explaining the song, what the song is. Only the Tarsh B'Alpeh is the explanation of the foundation of the mitzvahs and their source. And that's what Tarsh B'Alpeh is all about. And how to do a specific mitzvah and what way to do a specific mitzvah. And so on Shavuos, the whole idea of waving these two breads alludes to this idea of uniting us with Hashem's infinite Ein Sof. And the idea of Ilu v'chayohi chad, Hashem and his life force is one. That Hashem is the knower and the knowledge, and through this they become united, and specifically uniting this idea of kavasim to be totally nullified to its source, and that's why by Shavuos the two breads that are offered is specifically chametz teafenes baked with chametz. And after it ascends to its source, it's the source of all the chayas that creates the worlds. It's considered on the level of misnase mimas elam, that through this korban the person becomes elevated and is able to elevate, I guess, the keves and the lechem to its source, and reaches this level of isnasus and exachtus to its source. And from here, we can understand why the kvasim, that are offered on Shemitah Tzeres, is not burnt, but rather eaten by the owners and their korban shlamims, as opposed to the korban tamid, which are burnt on the mizbeach and are not able to be eaten. Whole reason for this is that the korban tamid that's drawn down here it's into this world of pirud, in world of separation. It's impossible for the owners to eat because it's not able to become mamshech down here without having this achiza and unika of the sitra achara. But the anshavuas, the lambs offered in Shavuos, specifically because it's offered with lechem, and this tenufa process is connected to this much higher level called ksavim, and included with the two breads. And because it's included with the two breads, there's no ability for the shlita nimika at all. And therefore, they are shlamim that are even eaten, even by the owners. That's the end of the mimer. Now moving on to the beer of the mimer. This explanation, we're going to explain what's the whole inyan of tohu and tikkun. We know that the soul of man comes from the level of tikkun. As we say, naisadam b'talmeinu. Let us make man in our image, meaning it's the idea of tikkun. Now, domim tzmech and chai come from the level of tohu, which is higher than tikkun. So we know that ubegin de tikkun adad adam la ishtachach la yechilul meka, that if tikkun didn't have Adam present, then it wouldn't be able to be sustained, meaning Adam is uniquely connected to the world of tikkun. And we see this down here that even though the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom and inanimate objects come from Tohu, which is seemingly higher than tikkun, nevertheless, Adam, mankind, is able to rule over the rest of creation. But you do get, and Adam, mankind, dominates over the animal kingdom. So how could that be if animal kingdom is rooted in Tohu? Then it is that because Adam is the level of Partsuf, which is included in the 10 spheres, and all the levels of all the creations, and it's not on the level that is totally united with other creations. That, simply put, mankind is intercomposite of many different midos, as opposed to animal kingdom and other aspects of creation. It only has one specific midah that expresses itself and to the exclusion of all other midahs. So for example, an eagle, its nature is to be compassionate to its sons. And a crow, its nature is to be cruel to its sons. And we see by an eagle, we don't see this concept that, oh, it's cruel, but that cruelty contains within it elements of compassion, or vice versa. No, it's, well, one is cruel, one is kind. We don't see, there's no mixture. We don't see within one species of animal a mixture, an intercomposition of different midos. And that's the idea of the lack of a partsuf. And that's similar to also the idea of angels, that angels are also called by this inyan, that they have, they only have one midah that expresses themselves. For example, Michael, Gavriel, etc. Just expresses chasid or gvura respectively. And we see that in the 10 spheres, the 3 intellectual and 7 emotional spheres, even though that we have in every single midah this inclusivity, for example, with regards to, let's say, if a father needs to be cruel to his son, so to speak, a human, we see that he's not really trying to be cruel. Really, there's a deeper love that he's trying to express within the cruelty. He's not inherently cruel, or there's not exclusive kindness. There's always a combination and intercomposition of both. And we have this by all the Midos. And also, we have this concept, very fascinating, how even within a person and within Adam, you also have the interclusivity of Doimim Sumeach and Chai. So the examples the Alter Rebbe brings is, in a person's body, the idea of hair is actually the idea of Sumeach, vegetative matter within person, because hair grows from the body, from the head. And spiritually, like, I guess, spoken letters are the idea of spiritual daimon within a person. And emotions are sameach with a person, because I guess they grow. So we have, that's why a person is called oilam katan. It's called a miniature world, because you have the whole of all of creation, all of the tanmidais within a person, but also all of the ideas within Doimen and Sameach and Chai, all within every single person. And that's the idea that we were created with Salam Alakim. And we have the parallel of mankind, of a human in above, that Hashem is referred to as Adam de la Ila. And that's the idea of a parts, if the parts of connects the 10 spheres. Within each sphere, you have all the 10 spheres. That's the divot parts of. And in the parentheses here, the Alter Rebbe quotes the Eitz Chaim, of Tzemach Tzedek quotes the Eitz Chaim, the idea of breaking apart a sphere, that you have different elements, that the Nekuda, is the Nekuda, the sphere, and the parts of. The Nekuda is the actual practical application of every individual sphere. The sphere is the completion of the sphere as it is within the worlds, and the parts of is how that sphere connects to all the other 10 spheres. And we also have the idea of parts of within intellectual, and then our three intellectual traits, Chachma, Bina, and Das, that sometimes, you know, you might have Gadlus in Chabad, and sometimes Katnus. Because Kibbutz Salam, Elokim Naisad, that we also see down here that we have many different levels of Chabad within each person. And, on the level of the Pnimius and Chitzonius, that all these are not found by the rest of creation. We don't have this idea of this iskalos of Chabad within the rest of creation, only by humans, because humans are created B'Tzelem Elokim, which is paralleled to Adam Elyon, which includes everything. And with regards to the divine chariot of Yechezkel, it says, "Upnei Adam Larbatan," that Adam, man, is the face of man, is, so to speak, the rider of this corporeal chariot, so to speak, in which all the animals that are pulling the chariot are different animals that represent its specific mida, but the Adam is a composition of all of them. And now, moving on to Ois Beis, we know that the reason for all this, why specifically Adam has this idea of iskalos and partsuf, and other animals don't have the idea of iskalos and partsuf, is because the source of man comes from the world of tikkun. And the source of Debim Tzmeach and Chai comes from the world of Tohu, came before Tikkun. That the whole idea of Shiras Akelim of Tohu is because there was a great amount of ore and the Kli was small. There's just too much light for the vessel, so that caused the vessel to break. And so then what happens was Olam HaTikkun came about, which was essentially very small amount of light, but with a lot of vessels. So therefore, there would be no way for the vessels to break. This idea of Riboya, or abundant amount of light, means that this revelation of light was such a great strength that each of the Midas of Tohu, they didn't have this idea of iskalos, so therefore they had such a strength they couldn't tolerate the other mida, because they would contradict each other. So that's where our sages say that a person should be rachikana, should be soft like a reed, like in Olam HaTikkun. You should be able to be a little soft and not necessarily feel like you always have to be 100% right, but you can make a compromise. I think that's kind of what I'm saying. But you should not be kashkeres, should not be strong like a cedar tree, because a cedar tree that represents the idea of tohu, and when each of the midas are so strong, they couldn't tolerate each other and then caused that Shiras Akelim problem. And this is the light and the midah that comes with such a great strength that wasn't able to tolerate each other. And we find that this world is Olam HaTikkun, which has such a small amount of light. But the only problem with that is that we don't have any mida that is bitikbayras, that has real strength. But the advantage of that is that it has this rach kekana advantage, that it's able to tolerate and create that inter-inclusivity. This is kalos amidois, where chesed is included within gvura and vice versa, which makes it possible for, as we're going to say later on, the Orient Self to dwell. And that's the idea of Adam, the Olam HaTikkun. Which is the idea of its Hiskalos and Partsof, which has all these great advantages over the world of Tohu, even though Tohu is technically higher. Now, but Datsach, Tomim Tzemech and Chai, the rest of creation, its source is from Tohu. Now, they don't have iskalos, so that's a problem. But the advantage of Olam HaTikkun, where Domain Tzemech and Chai are from, is that it's far loftier source and much stronger lights. However, through this galos of the Midas and Tikkun, we are able to reveal our Ein Sof. That's not possible to be done in Tohu, as it says in Zohar, Kucha Brichu Laisharia Ela Ba'asar Shlem. Kadosh Baruch Hu only dwells in a place where there is peace or completion. So what does that mean? It means that Hashem's essence only dwells where there is His galos and a connection to the spheres altogether. Only then, only when the spheres are united, can the Ein Sof dwell here. That's not the case when each mida is on its own. We don't have this klal of Asar Shlim, of a place of completeness or peace, because we don't have the shlemus of the unity that you have in Tikkun. So So that's why specifically it's brought down in parentheses here that we say Barchinu Avinu Kulanu Ke'achad Bar Pinacha. That specifically also when the Jewish people received the Torah of Yichan, you saw that the Jews encamped with Achdus when they received the Torah. That's what made it possible for that highly godly revelation to happen. And we should look at where it explains another place that place of Iskalos and holiness draws down the light from the level of Akudim, which is the level of Shlemus Tochela, which is even higher than Tohu. So the world of Tohu is from the world of Nekudim, and the world of Akudim is the level of timing of reasons. And the timing of Keser, the Nekudas of Chachma, etc. Have a wonderful day.